Okay, Tazria Mitsora. Everybody hear me? Excellent. All right, let me share my screen before I forget. Here we go. So, Mitsora, not everybody's favorite parshiot, I think, in the Torah. That's all right. I always tell the story that when I went to get smicha, when I went to join the smicha program at YU. So I was very eager. So I went, I think I must have gone before anybody else my year. And I went to Rav Schachter, and you have to get a test. So he tests you right then and there. I said, I'd like to go into the smicha program. So, it's a 10, 15-minute thing, I think. And then the thing is, he asks you about questions from the parsha. And I went the week of Tazria Mitzora, and I hadn't even done Shnai Mikra yet. I didn't even know the Rashis. I didn't. How much do you remember? And he was asking me questions. I didn't. I was asking him questions. He would ask me. I said, "I don't know. What is that?" But ultimately, I got in. All's well that ends well. And I learned a lesson. Don't go during Tazria Mitzora unless you know it well. So, Parshas Tazria Mitzora, of course, covers mostly the halachot of Tzaraat. But of course, it starts. The first two psukim are the source for Brit Milah. At least after Matan Torah. Of course, we have Brit Milah from the time of Avraham Avinu, but after Matan Torah, we have this pasuk: "Ubayom Hashmini Imal B'sora Lato." On the eighth day, we do a Brit Milah. The Or HaChaim, Rav Chaim Ibn Attar, jumps in and says, "Tzarich l'dat, lama utzrach l'tzavot hazeh? Lo kvar ma Torah b'parshat Lech Lecha kol pratei dina milah." We've heard this already. We know it's supposed to be on the eighth day. Yitzchak was done on the eighth day. It's true that Yishmael wasn't and Avram wasn't, but Yitzchak was already done on the eighth day. We know these things. So why did we have to hear about it again? Okay, so maybe it's teaching us that it's supposed to be during the day and not at night. That's a halacha. And also, we're supposed to learn from here that you do a Brit Milah if the baby is born on a Shabbos. So then the next Shabbos, you do a Brit Milah on Shabbat, even though you're causing him to bleed. So maybe it's teaching us that. Kasha. This is hard. He could have told us that about that in Parshat Lech Lecha. Ulai. Maybe the answer is ki lo kava Hashem prat zeh b'mitzvat Avraham shelo yachshav adam ki lo hikel Hashem Shabbat legabei milah ela la'avot shelo kiblu haTorah b'chumrat Shabbat. If Hashem had said, "Okay, Avraham, I'm going to let you do the Brit Milah even on Shabbat," maybe we would have said, "Okay, that's because Avraham didn't accept the Torah. Shabbat for him is different than it is for us, so maybe that's why." How would we know that nowadays, now that we have Shabbat from Matan Torah, that we still are going to be machalel Shabbat essentially to do a Brit Milah? Yisrael shenistavu me'Hashem mechalelei amot yumat about Shabbat lo yidche Shabbat. Maybe we shouldn't push it off. Okay, and yesh makom lo'adin lachlo ki ein l'lmod la'kel b'Shabbat. That's why. Okay, so he says one answer for why Hashem did not tell Avraham explicitly, okay, you can do a Brit Milah even on Shabbat, is because there was no Shabbat then, at least not the way there is now. That's a technical answer. Gives a different answer. Ot nireh ki min hastam. Pashutu ki mitzvat milah shenemar parshat lech lecha ad Avraham Avinu hadvarim hem kenetinatan mipi hagvura laAvraham lo tosav dvarim behem achar matan Torah. It seems that everything was given to Avraham before matan Torah without any extras. Umiata ein makom sheitzaveh Hashem laAvraham lamul afilu b'Shabbat ki hu meatzmo ken yaseh hagam shemakayim kol Torah kula afa piken yidche Shabbat lifnei milah. Maybe a similar thing we were saying before. Maybe because Avram only kept Shabbat as like a chumrah on his own, so maybe for him you're going to be doche Shabbat for Brit Milah, but for Milah for us, Milah he mitzvah shenistavah b'Shabbat he mitzvah shelo nistavah b'kol ikar. For Avram, he didn't really get that as a mitzvah, so maybe that's why he's supposed to be mechalel, similar to what we said before. Fine. So in other words, that's why we need to hear about it again, that we could be mechalel Shabbat for it. Now, in the second comment, he says, maybe we can also explain the smicha of Bayom HaShmini with what comes before it. What comes right before Yom HaShmini? So he says, we know that a woman, when she gives birth to a boy, she's tmei'ah for 7 straight days. She's a yoledet. She's tmei'ah for 7 straight days, no matter what. Whether she bleeds or she doesn't bleed, she's going to be tmei'ah for 7 straight days, just like a nida. And then what happens? The Tam Zehu she gave Amila. This is why the Brit Milah was postponed for 7 days and wasn't done on the day that the baby was born. You might have thought you should do Brit Milah on the day the baby is born. No, we pushed it off for 7 days. But while Derech Amram, it says in the Gemara Dida, Shelo yihyu kol ha'olam smichim, v'aviv ve'imo antivim. Because we don't want everybody rejoicing, having a great time at the party, the Brit Milah, except for the mother and father who can't touch because she's Tmeya. We don't want her to be Tmeya for the Brit Milah. So we wait 7 days and then the woman will be Tahara. Now, this doesn't work out nowadays, but at least in the time of the Torah, that's how it worked. Why 8 days? They give a different answer, which is also going to sound familiar. They needed to wait for the baby to have koach to withstand the Brit Milah. Okay, so he says, is this a medical opinion? It takes 8 days for a baby to survive a Brit Milah? Says no. Koach ha'amur b'divrei mu'ma sh'amar b'zohar. It's what it says in the Zohar. Shehu kedei she'avor alav Shabbat. V'tagi'ehu nefesh achiyunit hanishpa'at ba'olam b'yom ha'Shabbat kayadua. V'az yeh ben kayama. What does the Aruch Hayim say? You have to wait 8 days because after 8 days you're guaranteed that there will be at least one Shabbat. Does this sound familiar to anybody? What is this similar to? Well, we always say that this is basically like the, sorry, let me just, we always say that the reason for a Shalom Zachar is that we want to make sure that the baby gets 7 days, including a Shabbat. Make sure the baby has Shabbat. What's interesting is that the Or Chaim specifically, the way that he describes Shabbat all the time, is that when Shabbat comes, there's an influx of energy. Hashem only gives the world, the universe, the reality, enough juice to survive for 6 days. And then it's going to go poof. But then comes along Shabbat and it gives a boost. It gives an electric burst to the world so that it can thrive for another 8 days. So we do the same thing for the baby. The baby comes into the world. It's guaranteed to survive for 6 days. And then it needs Shabbat to get another boost. And only after that, we make sure that there's a Shabbat. Then he can survive the Brit Milah.
Question?
Okay, that's the Aruch Hayim.
Yeah. What about a baby that's born on Shabbat?
Baby that's born on Shabbat, it's going to also have a Shabbat. It's going to have the Shabbat that it was born on. It's going to have the Shabbat that it has its Brit Milah. You mean it to go through a full Shabbat?
Well, supposing a woman gives birth like, you know, an hour before Shkia on Shabbat.
Yeah.
The Brit for the baby is the next Shabbat morning.
What makes you think you need 25 hours of Shabbat just to get the benefit?
I'm just throwing this out.
I guess you don't. That's a good question. I guess the answer is that you only need a moment of Shabbat.
Okay.
Okay. Continuing on, we get, of course, to the Metzora Parshan, and we have Kliyakar. The Kliyakar says, Adam ki yeh bo'or b'saro. When a person finds on his skin these nigaim, these blemishes. So the Kliyakar's first point is, Samach parasha nigaim, parasha kodemet hamedaberet b'mila. Negaim, right? That parsha, the parsha of Tzarat, is attached directly to the laws of Milah. Lomar lecha, shamilah docha tanagim. The reason is, it tells you that actually Brit Milah overrides Negaim. So, for example, this is, you know, an uncomfortable example, but we know that you're not allowed to cut Tzarat off of your body. If you get Tzarat on your skin, you know, one easy way to get rid of the Tzarat is just to, you know, shave off that part of your skin. You could potentially do that, but it's a sore. You're not allowed. However, if there's tzarat on a baby's milah, then we know that you can. Hold on 1 second. Sorry. Ariella, can you please help her? She needs help. Thank you. The milah is dochet hanagim, which means that if a baby has a piece of tzarat on the area of the milah, we do the brit milah anyways, even though if it gets rid of the tzarat. That teaches you that. The one that goes first is doche, the one that goes afterwards. We've seen this before in the Parshat Vayakel. Parshat Vayakel starts with Shabbat, and then it goes directly into the Mishkan. And what do we learn from that?
You can't violate Shabbat just to build the Mishkan.
Exactly. That the Mishkan does not violate Shabbat because Shabbat goes first. The Al Tzad HaRemez, there's actually another case of that, by the way. There's one other case of that. Rosh Chodesh and Shabbat is sandwiched by the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh. And the reason for that, the Kli Yakar points out, is that Rosh Chodesh on the one hand is Docheh Shabbat, and on the other hand is not. In what way is Rosh Chodesh Docheh Shabbat? If the Edim need to travel on Shabbat to get to the Sanhedrin, right? So you have Edim that are coming from, let's say, Beit Shemesh, and they need to get to Yerushalayim. They're allowed to travel by horseback on Shabbat, Mechallel Shabbat, all the way to get to the Sanhedrin, in order to tell the Sanhedrin, today is Rosh Chodesh, I saw the moon. On the other hand, once the Sanhedrin knows that it's Rosh Chodesh, they have to send out messengers, right, to the rest of the towns. They don't do that on Shabbat. It tells you that Rosh Chodesh is Docheh Shabbat in one way, but it's not Docheh Shabbat in the other. That's why it's sandwiched. So you see this principle comes up a few times.
I have another question.
Go ahead.
If tzara'at is a moral consequence of lashon hara, how is a newborn born with tzara'at?
Fair
They
question.
can't talk yet.
It's a fair question. There could be many reasons why tzaraat happens. The Gemara has about seven different sins. Obviously, we wouldn't expect to ascribe any of those sins to a baby. It
Exactly.
could be
That's
that it was theoretical, or it could be that it happens for whatever reason that we don't understand. Who knows? It's a
okay.
fair question. If it ever happens, you should ask that. So he continues and says, "Stam mila, sibal milat kol arba arlot." He says, "The truth is, by the way, that the Mila is a symbol that we're supposed to get rid of all of the arelot, all of the four foreskins. Umichlalam orlat hapeh. And one of those is the orla of the peh. Kshuhun imol mirlat hapeh lo yitzaper lashon hara. If you fix the orla of your peh, the foreskin of your peh, then you won't have to worry about lashon hara. Vaz lo yavol lidei negayim abayim al lashon hara. Then you don't have to worry about the negayim. V'alzeh kara Moshe tegar ba'omro, umeaz bati ledaber bishmecha." Moshe says, "I've come to speak in your name." Everything Moshe did was always with the word "az," and this is a remez to the Brit Milah. It says, it continues, like "az yasher Moshe," he cut the yam. That was bishut hamilah, because it says ayin zayin is eight, right? That's the number eight. So the schut of the milah was the schut for "az yasher," and all the other "azes" are always bizchut the milah. Now, here's the thing. Moshe himself says about himself that he is arel sfatayim. He says that he has an orla on his mouth, on his lips, right? I need the az, I need the milah in order to be able to speak. Why? Because Moshe needs to fix his mouth. He says, but I see that it doesn't always help. Now, why does Moshe need to fix? How do we know that he has an orlat hapeh? Because he spoke lashon hara about the Bnei Israel. When he was supposed to go to save Bnei Israel, one of the things he said was, these people, they're not going to believe in you, which was lashon hara. That was the moment when Moshe stuck his hand into his shirt, and what did he come out with? Tzara'at. So Moshe was guilty of that. So Moshe also needed, he was Aral Sfataim, he needed to do a milah on the peh. And that's why it's Az Yashir, Az Yavdil Moshe, all the Azes, that's supposed to be a milah for his peh. That's the connection between Brit Milah and the Nega'im. Okay, now here's a very pretty piece from the Kli Yakar. So the Torah tells us how do you determine if a person has Tzara'at? Who's the one who declares it? Who diagnoses tzaraat?
Cohen.
The Kohen. Huva el Kohen. He is brought to the Kohen. And how does he become tahor? Also, he gets brought to the Kohen. So the Kli Yakar says, "Ein tahato ki mal yedei Kohen. Yan ki kol mi yisher asher hu mizera Aharon imtzu ba shalosh midot tovot tafkim le'ilu ki chet ha'lashon gorem koriv." He says, ultimately, he says, the Kohen's job is to manage the tzara'at, to diagnose it, to fix it, because all Kohanim come directly from Aharon HaKohen, and Aharon HaKohen's job was to be an Oiv Shalom, Rodef Shalom. And the problem, as Karen pointed out, that leads to tzara'at is Lashon Hara, which is a lack of Shalom. Okay? And also, Gasut HaRuach is another reason, arrogance, hubris. And Aaron was also known as a great, very humble person, just like Moshe. So, says it makes a lot of sense that Aaron's job and Aaron and his descendants' job is going to be to diagnose and take care of Tzarat. Tzarat. He is the one who's going to have to handle it. Now, I want to go a little bit deeper into this now. I think it's the Chatam Sofer that goes into it. Yeah, here we go. So the Chatam Sofer makes a similar comment. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asa kotnot or vayal bishem. Let's skip past this. It basically says that the Bigdei Kohanim. No, let's skip past this. What we'll do is we'll say the person who speaks Lashon Hara and gets his body covered with Negaim is the opposite of the Kohen. So it makes sense that he has to go to the Kohen to view the Kohen to see, hey, the Kohen, he's wearing this Bigdei Kodesh. It's the opposite of your skin, which has become Meluchlach, has become dirtied, sullied by your Lashon Hara, because the Kohen remains Kadosh, because he's the son of Aharon. So that makes sense. But then how do we explain the end? How is it that the Kohen is the one to fix it? And here he says something amazing. He says, Kisheshav refalo v'nirpa negatarat. When he goes back to get healed by the Kohen, well, he is healed already. When he goes to the Kohen, it means that the nega went away, and the Kohen diagnoses him and says, okay, it went away, and you're good now. He says, Nirpa ki nitapchu avonotav l'schiyot, v'hu gadol v'adif mitzadik. Says once the Metzorah goes back to the Kohen second time to find out that he's been healed, he says, now what does that mean? That means that all of his sins that caused him to become a Metzorah, now that he did tshuva, he's been turned into a Baal tshuva, and now he's greater than a tzaddik. Which is why when he first gets diagnosed, it says, V'huva el HaKohen. But then when he gets healed, it says V'yatzah ha-kohen. The kohen comes to him. Yatzah kohen shu tzadik mikaro, hu yatzah al mechutz lamachaneh v'yikach limud mi baal hatshuva. Who is benefiting from the process of the healing of the Metzorah? The Metzorah, of course, is benefiting from it, but who else is benefiting from it? The kohen himself. Why? Because he gets to learn from a baal tshuva. The Kohen is the tzaddik, the one who never does anything wrong. He's like Aaron a Kohen. He stays ensconced in his shalom. But that means that he doesn't know what it's like to be sullied. But he gets to see the Metzorah in his state of impurity because of his sin. And then he gets to see him healed. And he gets to be inspired by that.
Can you remind me what the process is? How does the Metzorah actually get healed? Is
The
it just elapsed time
Kohen
or
diagnoses him, and then
yeah.
once he becomes a Metzorah, he goes through different stages, but eventually he has to leave the Machaneh. He has to leave his home, he has to leave his
Okay.
wife, he has to go out
Okay.
into the that's what we're gonna, well, we would have read it in the Haftorah this week if it wasn't Rosh Chodesh. The Metzorah has to leave the entire encampment of the Jewish people and stay out there, and he waits
Right.
a week and he does tshuva, and if he does tshuva properly, then the Tzaraat gets smaller and eventually goes away. And the
Ah,
Kohen
so he
comes
has
out
to
to see him, and then he's good.
he does have to do tshuva. It's not just elapsed time. It's not just kind of leaving the camp and waiting, you
Right.
know. Is that
Right.
correct? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's correct. Okay, good night. We'll have to wait. Okay, so that's the Chatam Sofer, and I think it's an amazing idea that the Kohen actually benefits from this process because he gets to see the tshuva process of the Metorah. One of the great mysteries, here's another Kli Yakar, one of the great mysteries of the Metzorah is this phenomenon that the Torah describes, where normally Tzaraat is a small thing on your skin, and then it can get bigger and bigger and bigger. You could have different spots, you could have it in your hair, you could have it on your body. But then the Torah describes a situation where the entire body is covered with Tzaraat. It's grown and grown and grown until it covers the entire body from the head to the toe. And then the Torah says something amazing. If that happens, guess what? Guess what? The Metzorah is automatically Tahor. He's no longer Tameh. The most counterintuitive thing about Tzaraat. Normally, if a sickness spreads, it's the worst. But here, if the tzaraat spreads to the entire body, he becomes tahor immediately. How does that work? This is the great mystery of tzaraat. And there are lots of answers. The Kli Yakar is a famous answer. He's quoted a lot by the Hasidic Sfarim as well. He says, first of all, ze siman she'ein koch biyada teva litchot mi'alav kol ha'psolot ki rav hu. Ze gam ken mofet sh'lo nitar mi'chet'o o tumatovo. V'im lo pasta anega kvar dacha mi'alav ha'teva kol ipush u'psolot ze mofet ki kvar gamar b'libo l'shuv b'tshuva shlema. He says, as the tzaraat is coming out, that is a sign that it was inside of him, and it needs to be polite. It needs to be exhumed from his body. V'im kista tzaraat, okay, expelled. Im kista tzaraat et kol ora nega miyosho v'ad raglav, kvar dacha teva kol ha'choli lachutz, v'az b'li safek itrape, fichach tahoru. So the Kiyakar says, this is simple physics, or simple biology. He says, if your entire body is covered with tzaraat, then it means that there's nothing left inside. So then, of course, you're automatically going to become tahor. So he says, you know, the tumah of tzaraat is that it's getting worse. That's why you're becoming tameh. The moment it starts getting better, you're tahor. So here, it's gotten as worse, as bad as it can possibly get. So then there's no reason to be tameh anymore. And he says, mitzata onesh, lisafek im yeresha tzaraat nitpashta b'kol gufo, as biyoter yigmor b'libo lashuv b'tshuva. There's nothing else to do to get him to do tshuva. Of course, he's going to become tahor. The Hamek Davar, the Netziv, takes this one step further. He looks at it from a similar perspective, but slightly different. He says, "Din azeu chok." He says, "This whole thing is a chok. This is very hard to understand." Sheyehe pricha b'kulo kalmi pistyon kol shehu, that spreading the entire body is going to be less severe than just a little bit. But he says we can understand what's going on because the Torah does not say that the person becomes tahor. What does the Torah say? Tihar etanega. Velokti v'tiaro kohen. It doesn't say the person becomes tahor. It says that the nega becomes tahor. Okay, I'll help you soon. Ela balalam deinu tama davar. Good luck. Ela balalam deinu tama davar. Kfar bi Rambam Ramban afilu simani tuma enam gurim kol kach belchot harofim. He says, first of all, we understand that all these simanim, all these symptoms, are not a physical ailment but a spiritual one. And he says, vayagel oznam da yisurim enam bayim bechozek kol kach elak medaber al haozen. Says the description of this is that the purpose of the tzaraat is to punish in order to teach. That Hashem is trying to speak to his ears to teach him something before everybody else knows about it. If his mouth has become disgusting through Lashon Hara, then the Simani Tuma come to teach him, you have to fix yourself. Aval, if it covers entire body, then there's no reason for any more warning. Because then everybody knows about it already. Because his entire body is covered. He can't hide it. This is something frightening. He says, this is a sign, not that this person has become tahor, not that this person has become better, but rather that he is hopeless. He's never going to change. And if he's never going to change, then there's no reason to consider him tameh anymore. The tum'ah is a punishment. But there's no point in punishing him if he's not going to get any better. So once it's covered his entire body, that means it's too late. This guy has run out of time to fix it. And so there's no reason to make him tameh anymore because it's not going to fix.
So that's not the same as it's all come out and there's no more inside.
Yeah, very different. Very different. The Kli Yakar looks at it as almost the pathology of the tzaraat is that once it's covered his body, then there's nothing left. There's nothing left inside. But here the Nesiv says, no, we've given up on him.
Almost the opposite. Yeah.
Right. Two different ways. Okay, there's another Nesiv, but it's long and I wanted to actually get to this. Martin went off. Okay, this is for my smichas chaver, the ones who are about to take the test on Hilchot Nida. The majority of whom happen to be married to women who this is probably not relevant for anymore. And so there's a lot of question, why are we doing this? Why are we learning this? So here's the answer. Part of the parasha doesn't talk only about Tzaraath. People don't realize. So here, this is the tail end of the story with Rav Shechter was this. One of the questions Rav Shechter asked me was, he says, who are the Arba'a Mechusrei Kapara? The four people who lack Kapara. I had no idea. I didn't know what he was talking about. But I guessed. I said, well, I guess it's the Yoledet and the Metzora. He says, okay, and there's two more. And the two other ones are Azav and Azava. Now, what does Mechuseret Kapara mean? Mechuser Kapara means that these people are Tamei, and of course they have to go to the mikveh in order to become Tahor, but that's not good enough. In order to become Tahor, they not only have to go to the mikveh, but they also have to bring Korbanot. They have to be Mitkaper. Oyoledet, she brings Korbanot in order to become Tahora after 40 days or after 80 days. A Mitzora brings Korbanot after 7 days. Also a Zav and a Zava. What's a Zav and a Zava? A Zav is a man who has some kind of emission from his organ that is not, it's not semen, it's something else. It's some kind of sickness. It's some kind of condition that he has. That happens. And if it happens 3 times, he becomes a Zav, a real Zav. And a Zava is a woman who has some kind of also blood-like emission, but it's not menstrual blood. It's something else. It's a condition. And the Torah describes these different conditions. And those two people also, Azav and Azava, have to go to the mikveh when they're finished and also bring a korban. Now, the Torah dedicates many, many psukim to this. And it even says, Vamartem Elehem. Moshe is told by Hashem, you make sure that everybody knows about this. And then a tziv jumps in, the Hamikdavar says, Nitbayar Bereisha Sefer, Lashon Vamarta Aleihem, Shehu Halachot Amukubalot Baparasha. That there's a lot of Torah Shebal Peh. Vihine, Lo Matzeinu B'kol Parashiyot Shebat Torah Zeh HaLashon Vamartem Aleihem. Why does it say over here, Vamartem Aleihem, instead of Vamarta Aleihem? Vamartem means that not only does Moshe tell them, but other people have to tell them as well. No, I can't help you right now. I'm in the middle of something. You see that? Rak Dabrul Bnei Yisrael Lemor. Right? Usually it'll say Dabrul Bnei Yisrael Lemor. Shebiro Shegam Aaron Yidaber Ota Parsha B'kot Baal Peh B'zeh Lashon Shamar Moshe. So what's going on is Moshe is telling Aaron that he needs to teach the people about this. This is pretty unique. V'al Amartem Eliyem Shu Halachot U'Mishnayot Einu Min HaTzorach Lichtov. Why does Moshe have to tell Aaron explicitly about these halachot that he needs to go over it again and again? So he says, frankly, it's hard to talk about these issues, especially in public. And we might think that, you know what? The less we talk about this, the better. Not so appropriate, not so easy to talk about in mixed company. Only Moshe should teach this. He'll teach it once. Shelo yovedu miYisrael, so that people learn it. This is not the thing that you're supposed to really spend your time learning Yishma. Shehema lemitzvah, afilu beloto elat lemaaseh lezchira. Shum hachikti b'parshazu. That's why Moshe was told, no, you need to talk about these things. Shagam Aaron Yilamedim Israel Achar Shakvar Limdo Moshe, even after Moshe has taught them, Aaron should learn this Beseder HaMishnah Kaminago as part of the regular Seder Limud. Vuadin kol Rav Latomidav, Mishum Shabemet, Belimud Hatorah, Ein Yotzera, Vihi Ayelet Avim Yalatchen. Every single piece of Torah is Kadosh and is Tahor, and so every single thing deserves to be learned. People might think that this is uncomfortable, it's not so appropriate, it's not for everybody. No, every piece of Torah needs to be learned. I think that's an important lesson over here.
And how frequently does it happen anyway?
It doesn't happen very well nowadays. Well, yes and no. The truth is that nowadays we treat every woman who goes into a nida treats herself like she's a zava. That's the technical halacha. That informs a lot of Hilchot Nida. But you're right that we don't know because we don't really identify different types of blood. Okay, moving on. There's two comments here, one by the Or HaChaim, one by the Rabbi Barnell, that were very similar to each other. The Or HaChaim says, We know that normal tzaraat, leprosy, basically is well, he did, I don't know if he had the words, but it's a form of degeneration, or we would say probably it's bacterial or caused by a virus. And basically, the worst thing that you could do in those situations is to put a person in a room by himself in a dark room and, heat it up and not take care of him and not look after him. He needs support from different people, right? Part of what we do nowadays is emotional support for a patient. We know that the emotional state of a person is as important as their physical state. So the worst thing you can do is just leave them alone and not let them have any social contact with anybody. We saw this in COVID that was very, very bad. But that's exactly what we do to the Metzora. We send him off to be by himself. So it's the worst thing we could possibly do. So why do we do that? So he says, because the nature of this sickness is that it's not physical, it's spiritual. And when you get better in that situation, which is counterproductive for a physical ailment, that teaches you that the ailment itself was spiritual. In other words, the Metzora goes off on his own. He thinks about what he's done wrong. He does tshuva. He suffers. And then all of a sudden he gets better. What does he learn from that? That the source of the tzaraat was not a physical ailment, but rather that it was sent by God in order to cause him to become better. The Ruach Haim says that's why the regimen for the Metzora is to be by himself, which is the exact opposite of what a normal doctor would prescribe. I don't mean that he shouldn't be isolated from people physically, but socially he should be interacting with them, which the Metzora does not do.
Can I ask, at the end of the whatever it is, 7 days, the period,
Right.
does he bring a korban, or
He
just go
does.
back to the Kohen?
No, he has
He
to. Well,
does.
he goes to the Kohen so that he can find out that it's been healed. He goes to the mikveh so that he can become tahor, and then he has to bring a korban in order to be able to come back to the Beit HaMikdash, in order to be able to touch to be fully tahor, to be fully tahor, to finish the tahara. Okay, I thought maybe we'd do one more piece from the Chatam Sofer. In Parashat Metzora, which is the second parasha, we find out that part of the process of the tahara of the korbanot is that he has to also bring an eitz, erez, ve'ezov. Along with his korbanot, he has to dip this cedar wood with hyssop in water and blood. It's very similar to actually to the Korban Pesach, and there's a whole process that he does with birds. So, but I want to focus for a second. The Chatam Sofer focuses for a second on the fact that he brings this cedar wood and hyssop, which are two opposites. Cedar wood, Eitz Erez, is the largest tree, and Ezov is this very, very small, almost an herb, right? It's just very, very small. So he says, Yachad Nikshoyim. Shim gam be'emet gadol hu ke'eretz, ve'yesh lo b'me litgaot, ve'inenu dal, ge'e, mikol mekom yashpil atzmo ke'ezov. Because even if he thinks that he's great, he should put himself down like he's something small. V'zeh merameh is matzah anivut, v'lo ola lamala kamo chametz. So the Chatam Sofer wants to connect this to Pesach, that he should be more like matzah and not like chametz, matzah which stays low, and not like chametz which blows itself up. V'nitpayach. However, b'Shavuot Matan Torah Chayrut, mi, what is that? Chayrut mi. Oh, Memalach haMavet uPaskah Zu haMatan. We know that at Shavuot, when we received the Torah, we became free from the Malach haMavet, as the Gemara in Shabbos and Avodah Zarah says. So Vayigbal Abo B'Darkei Hashem. Lachein hikrivu chametz b'mizbeach b'shavuot, ma she'en ken b'shar kol yemot ha'shana. So he says that's why on Shavuot we bring chametz. On Shavuot we bring chametz. There are only two korbanot in the entire Beit HaMikdash that have chametz: the korban toda and the shtei halechem on Shavuot, which we bring as chametz. So how do we do that? So he says you go from a process of being low. Then you can earn the process of being high. But you can't be high all the time. So he says you have to balance between the Eitz Erez and the Ezov. That's what we learned from the Metzora. Okay, last piece that I wanted to do with you is the Ktav HaKabbalah, just a nice little language piece he always has. On the Pasuk, Basar Yehiyebo, which is his flesh, his skin. He's talking about the skin of the Metzorah. He says, where does the word basar come from? That's what he wants to know. Why does the word basar refer to flesh? He says, basar mechaseh tagidim v'atzamot, the flesh which covers the sinews and the bones. Mishutaf b'mvano impal baser. What's baser? What's levaser? To report, right? To give news. Besarot tovot is news, right? Levaser. Ki ha-basar hu ha-mevaser v'amodi alachutz et pnimiyut kochot ha-navshiyot im tovot hene oraot. The skin is the ambassador of what's going on inside, right? It's a transmitter. If you see somebody's skin is unhealthy, you know that something bad is going on underneath the skin. It's not only epidemiological. It's not only on the outside. I don't know if I used that right. It's not only on the epidermis, but rather it's a sign that something wrong inside. It's a transmitter that something is wrong inside of him. That's why it's called basar. He says it's similar to the word panim. What's panim? Panim is your face, right? But
Fitun.
pnim is the inside. It's the exact opposite of your face. The reason is because the face reveals what's going on inside. It's the shetach hachitzon, it's the surface, which reveals what's going on really pnima, what's going on inside. And so that's the message of the basar and the panim. Okay, stop there.
לקבל
Cover a
כל
lot of
הנושא
ground.
בפנים יפות.
Bidiyuk, bidiyuk. Yisher koach, everybody, and a Shabbat Shalom and a Chodesh Tov.
Thank you, Rabbi.
All right, have a good night.
Shabbat.